Let's turn together in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Reading a few verses there, then we're going to be reading also in the back of our songbooks. In the back of our songbooks, you'll find the Heidelberg Catechism. We'll look at that in just a moment. First, let's read from 1 John chapter 1. That's found on page 1110. 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. Focus is there on verse 7. Let's start a reading at verse 5. This is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's our focus. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So our focus is going to be on the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all our sins, which is one of the central points taught by baptism. Let's now turn to the back of our red songbooks, our Red Trinity songbooks, and turn to page 883, to look at Lord's Day 26. We're just going to be reading question and answer 69 and 70. And as we traditionally do here at church, I'll read the question and let's respond with the answers together. Again, that's page 883, Lord's Day 26. Starting with question and answer 69, how does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it promised that, as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. And then question and answer 70, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. And as far as reading in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you had to estimate how much time on a given day you spend washing, what would you say? What is the average time you would give, average day, to washing? I imagine if you actually sat down and started considering how much time you actually spent washing, doing laundry, dishes, cleaning the house, cleaning your body, cleaning the car, it's estimated that the average person spends over 1 hour on a given day spending time washing, cleaning something. And the problem is, whatever you clean gets dirty again. I'm sure there's many a husband sitting here today who has said, I just washed the cars. How could they be so dirty? How many wives, mothers are sitting here today, I just did the dishes. How can there be a pile of dishes in the sink? Or I just finished the laundry. How is there this mountain of dirty clothes sitting here again? And even with our little children, I'm sure you've had that sense when mom said to you, little one, it's time to clean your room. What do you mean? I just cleaned my room last week. How could it be dirty again? The fact is, what we wash, what we clean, gets dirty once again. What a wonderful thing that would be if when we cleaned something once, it would remain clean. Well, today we are going to find that there is a way to be washed to such an extent, with such a powerful cleansing agent, that whatever is washed cannot get dirty again, remains clean for everlasting. So this morning we are going to be considering a baptism, and we're going to be looking at this theme. The sign of baptism reveals the gospel message of cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. The sign of baptism reveals the gospel message of cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our first point then, we are going to consider how we, every one of us here, we all have this shared need for cleansing. Psalm 51, we sang that earlier, I am evil, born in sin. To get to the heart of the shared need that everyone here has, from the oldest to the youngest, we have to consider where this pollution comes from. What is the source of pollution for mankind? Well, the source of pollution comes not from the physical dirt, from the mud that you might find at the bottom of your shoes. It is not the dirt of this earth. It is the dirt of spiritual rebellion. What makes you and I dirty is the dirt of sin, the mud of transgression and rebellion. We are totally depraved. We are sinful in our nature. Every aspect of our being has been affected by the fall. Even little Josette, who's not sitting here right now, but even little Josette, just a few minutes up here, so cute in her little white dress, looking so clean and pure. Even our children, born in sin, polluted. Every one of us here committing sins in thought, word, and indeed. Even the whole process of giving birth reaffirms, impresses upon us this fact that we are sinful. The pain of childbirth, the pain, the travail of a woman in labor is a reminder. There's something wrong with this world. There's something wrong with our bodies. Labor pains tell us that everything is not right. The curse and its consequences are felt. And that little baby who was brought forth arrives covered in blood, kicking and screaming, needing to be washed, needing to be cleansed. And as these children grow, no one needs to teach our children to say the word no. No one needs to teach our children to say mine. No one needs to teach a child to be selfish. It is natural. It comes to us all. In fact, we all do things where we show our rebellious heart, that we are selfish by nature. From the little child that takes the biggest cookie that's on the plate, to the grown-ups who continue to think about how everyone else's actions reflect on them. So on our first point, we need to come to see this very simple truth. We are all sinners. We are all dirty. So let me ask you this question. How do you view yourself? What sort of an examination? How would you rate yourself? Do you see yourself as dirty, as sinful, as dead in sins and transgressions? That you are filthy and that you need to be washed? Because by nature, we all tend to have an elevated sense of ourselves. We tend to compare ourselves to others and say, well, I'm not as bad as this person. I've never done this. But we need to compare ourselves to the perfection of God's law to see how far we have each truly fallen. So we need to see, to view ourselves with a sober evaluation. I am a sinner who needs to be cleansed. So let's press on, looking not only at our sin and misery, but we're going to be looking at the solution to our sin and misery. How do we deal with the sin that you and I, little Josette and the oldest member here, how do we deal with the sin that we are born with, our sinful nature, and the sins that we commit? Well, the solution is found in being washed and being cleansed. Question and answer 70 says, to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ? What is that speaking to? It's speaking to the removal of sin, the dealing with the guilt, the forgiveness of those sins, the cleansing of that iniquity. So the external sign that our children receive remains just that. It's an external sign. But this external sign proves what is taking place. As you were able to see with this water a few minutes ago, water shows us that what is dirty can be made clean. I imagine that if you were going to be cleaning your car, you would probably take a hose and use water. When it comes to cleaning your clothes, you put them in the wash machine, and the wash machine uses water. Children, if your parents tell you to wash your hands, you go to the sink and you turn on the faucet and you use water. So water is this universal teaching tool. If you are dirty, you need water to make you clean. But the problem is water cannot deal with what's really wrong with us. Throughout the Old Testament, there were all these different rites and rituals, these ceremonial washings that would take place. Even in the temple court itself, this bronze basin where the priests would have to go in and do these works, these actions of ceremonial cleansing. But there is no amount of water that can deal with our sins. There is no kind of liquid that is found here on the face of this earth that can deal with what is inside our hearts. Physical water lacks the power and the depth to deal with what is truly plaguing us. So even if you took a shower this morning and you used the most potent kind of soap and you stood in the shower for an hour taking a really hot shower, you would still come out as dirty as you went in. Because what is wrong with you, what is wrong with me, cannot be dealt with physical water. We need something stronger, something better, something more potent. What is needed is something to deal with our sin, to touch the heart, an internal washing. And that internal washing is what is found with the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7, Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all our sins. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So, children, let's follow this line of thought. This is a very simple truth. The gospel is so clear and simple. Our children can get this. Dirt equals sin. Water equals the blood of Jesus Christ. So in order to remove the dirt that is on us, our sin, we need the blood of Jesus Christ to flow over us, to be applied to us, to be administered to us. We read this earlier from 1 John 1 verse 7. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. Earlier we read from Isaiah chapter 1, and Isaiah chapter 1 brings this vivid picture to us, this vivid picture. Though our sins are like scarlet, though our sins are crimson red, our hands covered in blood, we shall be made as white as snow, as white as bleached wool. We're red, we'll be made white. We're dirty, we'll be made clean. That's what Christ's blood does. Now, this is a striking contrast, and it's not really how our minds work. Let me ask you men this morning, if you were using a straight edge blade and you're shaving this morning and you happen to cut yourself and you end up with blood on your neck and you put your nice white shirt on, what happens to something that is white when it comes into contact with blood? It gets dirty. It gets stained. The way that our minds work is blood stains. Blood makes something that is clean dirty. Blood pollutes. And when you have blood on your shirt, it's really hard to get out. It's hard to remove that stain. But here, the teaching of the gospel puts things into a different perspective. It changes how we approach. We think blood pollutes. that the shedding of blood makes a person unclean. But what the gospel says is blood cleanses. Blood removes the stain. Blood would take a shirt that is dirty and make it clean. Blood works better than the strongest bleach. Such is the mystery of the gospel. Instead of making us dirty, the blood of Jesus makes what is dirty clean, taking away all of our sins. So baptism points to the washing that is necessary, a washing that cleanses us and takes care of our sin and our transgression. But baptism as a sign of Christ's blood is and remains a bloodless sacrament. There is no blood to be found in this baptismal font. There is no blood that was placed upon little Josette's head. Because the blood that was shed once for all. Hebrews said, the complete forgiveness of all our sins, once for all. So Christ needed to die, but his death was a one-time event. We do not need to have Jesus Christ have his blood shed repeatedly. And just as an aside, that is why we don't redo or repeat baptism. We don't need to be baptized again and again and again and again every time we sin, because our baptism is pointing to the blood of Jesus shed once for all. And when you have passed under the blood of Jesus Christ, once his works have been applied to your account, you are perfectly clean in the Father's sight. Earlier, I referenced the fact that there is some cleaning agent that is able to make something that is dirty clean and has the power to keep it clean so that it cannot get dirty again. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the sufficiency of his blood. When you pass under the blood of Jesus Christ, or his works have been applied to you, you are forgiven. Once for all of your sins are completely forgiven. In the sight of the Father, you are clean, you are pure, you are holy, you are accepted, so that there is no way for you to be polluted or repulsive or cast out. You are welcomed and received justified, a child of God. That's why the power of Jesus Christ's blood is so wonderful and so precious, that it applies to you. When once it applies to you, you have the complete forgiveness of all your sins. But there remains one more aspect to the sign of baptism that we need to consider, looking again at question and answer 70. Not only does the blood of Jesus Christ point to this forgiveness of all of our sins, the washing and cleansing us, there is a second aspect to the sacrament of baptism, that is the cleansing of Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit who renews us and makes us a holy in this life. There is a link here between the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, a link that was established in Matthew chapter 3. That's where Jesus was baptized by John. Coming up the water, Jesus had that Holy Spirit descending upon him and clothing him for sacred service. A baptism points not only to the forgiveness of our sins, but also the renewal. So there is a blood and spirit aspect. John 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. So baptism is a sign of inclusion. It is a sign of being set apart, of being sanctified. It is a sign that is marking you for sacred service, set apart, belonging to God. To say this another way, baptism speaks not only of blood, but it also speaks of fire and wind. It speaks of the Holy Spirit and his work within us. These things are promised to us when we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have the promise that the Spirit is going to be working within us, renewing us, and setting us apart for. Joel 2 says that in the latter days, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, on your sons and daughters. So baptism is a sign of covenant membership. It is a sign that someone has been set apart for service. It is a sign that distinguishes those who belong to God from those who belong to the world. And those who receive the sign of the Spirit have the Spirit working within them, cleansing and purging the inner man. Listen to these words from Romans 6, verse 9. It's so wonderful that we could read the form for baptism, because all of these passages I'm quoting are in the form that we read just a few minutes ago. But Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried with him by baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So there is a new image that is being here applied to baptism. So baptism not only signifies to the washing, to the cleansing, to the water, which points to the blood of Jesus Christ washing and cleansing us. There is a second image attached to baptism, and that image is death and resurrection. It is being united to Christ in death and united to Christ in his resurrection. Being united to Christ in the resurrection means that the old man is being put to death, and the new man is being brought to life to live in the image of Jesus Christ. So there is a parallel truth that is here being pointed to in baptism. The forgiveness of sins, think justification, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, think sanctification. There is a one-time event, forgiving of all of our sins when you're joined to Christ by faith. But there is also the sending of the Holy Spirit, so that those who are joined to Christ by faith, by the Spirit, continue to live, putting to death their sins and coming alive in the image of Christ. Historically, in Reformed circles, they would call this improving upon your baptism. To improve upon your baptism simply means this. It embraces the promises that God makes to you in your baptism, and then a dedication to growing in holiness and obedience as the Spirit works within. So that means, brothers and sisters, that baptism is not a dead doctrine. So for many of you sitting here, it may have been years, it may have been decades ago that you were baptized. Does that mean that your baptism was a one-time event that happened all those years ago and has nothing to say about your current condition and calling? That is a real danger in Reformed circles. We can become so lazy, if you will, when we think of what it means to be a Christian and being baptized. Oh, I had that, I did that, it's done. It doesn't have anything to do or say about my current life. But being baptized means that, yes, you are forgiven in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but baptism points also to the Holy Spirit. And what's the Spirit doing? The Spirit is working within you so that you are growing in holiness and obedience. So baptism is not something that just happened to you once long ago and has no impact on today. Those who are washed by the blood are also the same ones who are cleansed by the Spirit, who grow in holiness and faith. So as little Josette grows up and is taught by her parents, as she will be when she gets old enough to understand, little one, when you were a child, you were baptized. That means that your identity is that you are a child of God. Now that is a wonderful truth. God has put his name upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, this one, this child is mine, belongs to me. I have a claim on this child. But that is not the end of the matter. As Caleb and Chrissy are going to teach their children, their daughters, that belonging to God means that you are to live like one of his children. So therefore, you don't do the things that the children of the world do. You don't live like the world. You don't act like the world. You live like a member of the household of God. You're called to faith and obedience, to respond to the promises, and to grow in obedience and in holiness as the Spirit works within. To conclude, although most of us spend over an hour every day cleaning something, the fact remains we spend little time thinking of the cleaning work of the Holy Spirit. If we had to be rebaptized every time we sinned, we would never be done. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to forgive, to cleanse us from all our sins. We are justified, we're forgiven, we're accepted in the sight of our Father. But we are also called by the Spirit to pursue a life of holiness and obedience. Baptism is a double washing by the blood and by the Spirit. Justified, sanctified, forgiven, called to live a holy life. That is what baptism means, and that is what baptism demands. So if you've been looking at our outline, there should be a catechism theme rising to your mind. Looking at our 3 points, we found our sin, we found our salvation, and we found our service. That is the gospel message of baptism. You're a sinner who finds forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, who is called to a holy life by the Spirit. Baptism proclaims the good news of forgiveness and a life of obedience. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful promise and picture that we have in baptism of forgiveness, but also holiness. May we, O Lord, continue to grow in obedience as we follow upon you. We thank you for the promise that our sins are completely forgiven. And we thank you for the Spirit, and by the Spirit we might more and more die to sin and live a holy and blameless life. We pray, O Lord, that you would continue to, by your Spirit, continue to work within us, that we would begin to live in accordance with our new identity as sons and daughters of the living King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is...